Say goodbye to masks as Ontario becomes the latest province to announce an end to its mask mandates. And finally, gas prices continue to skyrocket as the war in Ukraine continues. Today is March 10th, 2022. I'm Matt Halleck, and he's Andrew DiBartolo, and you're listening to the Liberty Dispatch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we may be approaching a fateful hour.
Bonhoeffer spoke by radio to a national audience. He delivered one of the first public criticisms of the new chancellor.
Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense.
Welcome, everybody, to Liberty Dispatch, broadcasting across enemy lines into the Canadian culture war. And whether you are watching on our Rumble channel at Liberty Coalition Canada or our YouTube at Liberty C Canada, which is also our Twitter handle, or if you're just listening via podcast, please subscribe, like, rate, review, whatever your platform has to promote the content and share the content with others. Please do us the favor by doing that small part, because that helps the algorithms get our content before more people. Don't know really how that works, but it works somehow. So please, if you could do that, don't forget you can go over to the libertycoalitioncanada.com. where you're free of censorship. You can always stay up to date with the latest happenings at LCC. And finally, please consider donating to our work. We have ambitious goals before us this year. We want to continue to grow. We want to continue to bring you good analysis, cutting edge materials, and really try and change the Overton window as far as the political conversation is concerned in Canada. And we can't do that without your support. So whether it's a monthly small donation, a large donation one time, whatever it may be, we're always thankful to receive your gifts. And you can simply go to the Liberty Coalition Canada.com/donate or click on our donate tab right at the top of the page on our website, or you can click on or scan this handy QR code right at the bottom of your screen. So be sure to do those things. We would really greatly appreciate it. But with all that housekeeping out of the way, Andrew, let us get down to the brass tacks. And what is the first story that we're covering today?
So the first story has to do with masks, but before we set this up, we need to go through a little bit of history just to make sure we know where we've been. There are going to be a lot of people who are thinking, see, we told you it'd be over soon, we told you just a little bit of time and a little bit of compliance and everything would go back to normal. So the history looks like this. In Ontario, on October 4th, 2020, that's when the province-wide mask mandate was dropped, and that was dropped for all indoor places. But a lot of individual cities and health units had their own mask mandates back in July. And here in Kingston, where I am, our health unit, who at the time was overseen by Dr. Kieran Moore, who's now the chief medical officer for the province, decided that he wanted to be the first municipality in the country. And so we had mask mandates here all the way back in June of 2020. And so this has been going on for a long time. So during that time, kids have been forced to wear masks at school all day long. Elderly people have been muzzled, and especially in long-term care facilities, they have to wear their mask the whole time they're in common areas unless they're back in their room all by themselves, and many of them forget to take it off anyways. And so they're in masks all day. So this has been going on for 18 months provincially, but close to 21 months in terms of individual municipalities. So finally, the premier and the chief medical officer have decided that they are going to remove not all of, but most of the mask mandates for indoor places and spaces. There's still going to be a few that will have mask mandates. And so this is from a Global News article. Quote, masks will no longer be required in most social settings, such as restaurants, gyms, large event spaces, and even schools. However, The mask mandate will remain in place for higher risk settings such as transit, long-term care, retirement homes, so much for those elderly people, they still have to have masks on, hospitals, shelters, jails, and congregate care and living settings. And so Dr. Moore on Wednesday's press conference, so that was yesterday as of filming, this is what he said: we're now learning to live with and manage COVID-19 for the long term. Wow, he's 2 years, a little too late there. He continues, then this necessitates a shift to a more balanced response to the pandemic. Right. 2 years ago. 2 years ago, people, crazy people with tinfoil hats were saying, we need a more balanced response. What about economic effects? What about psychological effects? What about the broader sociological effects? Let's have a more balanced approach. We have to learn to live with this, right? This is something that will be around us for a long time. And so instead of adopting this 2 years ago, as they should have, our elected officials and our health bureaucrats opted for something never before done in the history of Western medicine. Never before have we done the sort of stuff we've done in the last 2 years. And I know that there are many who are thrilled about this news. People are, I mean, my Facebook was lighting up with goodbye masks are gone, all sorts of memes and GIFs, and everyone was super excited about it. But I want to point out for our listeners and for anyone who's going to share this with some of these equally excited people, two very concerning things. First, this doesn't mean it's over for good. It doesn't mean that this is now masks are gone forever. Number one, we see clearly there are some settings where masks are still allowed. But this is from a CBC article on the press conference yesterday. However, this is a quote, however, Dr. Moore said removing the mask mandate does not mean the risk is gone. Ooh, or the pandemic is over. Right? It's fear. He noted masking requirements may need to be reinstated if there is another spike in COVID-19 cases, adding that vulnerable people should continue to take precautions despite the easing of restrictions. And he says this, even though the mask mandates are lifted, we should all be prepared that we may need to resume mask wearing, he said, adding that he hopes anyone who remains vulnerable will continue to wear a mask, vulnerable not to COVID, but vulnerable to tyranny and lies and propaganda. That's what he's hoping. He's hoping that those people will continue to wear a mask because they're vulnerable. Quote, we will closely, and the you hear this language, this has been 2 years of the same rhetoric. We will closely, carefully monitor COVID-19 trends across the province. We will not hesitate to take action should the situation change, and we will inform Ontarians, because our government is so good about informing us on all matters regarding truth and science, we will inform Ontarians of any significant developments, our courageous leader, Dr. Moore, said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is the exact same thing that's being echoed on the federal level when Theresa Tam speaking. She says, yeah, sure, maybe provinces are easing some restrictions, but we need to be vigilant. We ever need to be ready to be willing to go back to lockdown measures and mask mandates, as though either of those worked, and as though either of those things were able to stop any waves of the COVID-19 pandemic. They haven't been, because they don't work. They're foolish strategies. So I think you make a critical point, Andrew, when you say, now's not the time for celebration, guys. This is just a bone that we're being thrown to placate us, but it's not as though they've ideologically or philosophically changed the way that they're dealing with these measures. Absolutely not. That is not the case at all. And our fight to end these mandates must also not be done. As long as they still think this is a possibility to go back to, we still have a lot of work before us, and we must be continually engaged in political discourse at all levels of our government, local through federal, or otherwise our technocratic moral better elites are never going to relinquish their wild control over every aspect of our lives. Because the fact of the matter is, SARS-CoV-2 is both seasonal and regional. And what does that mean? They're lifting restrictions as the weather gets better in the spring. And then through summer, until we get into the fall, where numbers are going to logically increase, therefore giving them, what are they going to do? We're monitoring these numbers. Look, they're increasing. Therefore, we have to put our masks back on and we have to lock back down because this is for your good. We've constantly heard that refrain in churches. This is loving your neighbor, Andrew. Don't you love your neighbor? Do you hate your neighbor? Do you hate science? Then put on your mask. That is what we've constantly been told. And I think C.S. Lewis really hits the really devastating effects of this effeminate tyranny that we've been living under for some 2 years now. And C.S. Lewis writes this, and I think it's a profound quote. Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. They may more likely go to heaven, yet at the same time, likelier to make a hell on earth. This very kindness stings with intolerable insult. To be cured against one's will and cured of states which we may not regard as diseases is to be put on a level of those who have not yet reached the ages of reason or those who never will, to be classed with infants, imbeciles, and domestic animals.
And that's exactly how they're framing it. The framing it is, it's, we care about you. It's for your good. It's for your safety. And the beautiful irony of all of this is that this is an elite class that has no problem murdering babies. It is no problem wiping out old people when they're an inconvenience. It is no problem taking people and saying, you're to be discarded. And so if they're going to tell me we're concerned for life, we're concerned for safety, that was one of the things early on that made my flags go up. When they start talking about concern for life and safety and human well-being with the tens of thousands of people that are butchered every year, all in the name of convenience and all in the name of compliance, I don't buy for a second. But that's how they're framing the language. And the great, I mean, there's a greater concern, or of great concern also, should be the promise, and this was also in the CTV article, that this will be the last time that the Reopening Ontario Act will be extended. Well, it's just the last time. Just until the end of April, just to get us through this last hump when finally all the mandates can go away for good. And there are some people who've been saying over the last 2 years that this mask thing is just a short-term thing, right? It's just a little tiny thing. It's a minor inconvenience. It was something that we were to bear. Like you said, love your neighbor, be kind, all the slogans, we're in this together, stay safe, stay home, blah, blah, blah. And now it's over. Now it's over and everything go back to normal. We only relinquished autonomy for our face for 2 years in order to save lives. So it wasn't really that big of a deal. No skin off our backs. That's completely wrong. Completely wrong. And we have seen over the last 2 years the devastating effects. We're not going to talk about lockdowns and let's just focus specifically on this idea of mask wearing. And I want to highlight two studies briefly that have been done in the last 2 years. So not to mention the dozens of studies prior to 2019, the peer-reviewed, randomized, controlled studies that showed that masks were not only ineffective, but that also had detrimental effects mentally, psychologically, sociologically. Let's just look at the last 2 years. The first one, and I want to focus on the last 2 years and what it did to children. What it did to children as we muzzled them and put coverings over their faces. The first one is called The Impact of the COVID-19 Pandemic on Early Child Cognitive Development, Initial Findings in a Longitudinal Observational Study of Child Health, done by a few departments in Rhode Island, a few different medical departments in Rhode Island. This is what they found. Face masks and social distancing measures impede children's development. This is from the abstract. The study found that these measures, especially masks, saw a 23% dive in cognitive development for infants and children over the course of 2018 to 2021 because of the changes during COVID. So they tracked children born in that time, and then they saw this massive dip because of the mandate, specifically the mask. This is from the study. Quote, we find that children born during the pandemic have significantly reduced verbal, motor, and overall cognitive performance compared to children born pre-pandemic. This is a long-term devastating effect that is not just going to go away, and we're not even going to see the fruit of this for decades to come. This is another study, briefly. This is out of Germany. It's titled, Is a Mask That Covers the Mouth and Nose Free from Undesirable Side Effects in Everyday Use and Free of Potential Hazards? The study found that among children, mask wearing brought with it increased risks of asthma, respiratory diseases, cardiopulmonary diseases, neuromuscular diseases, and epilepsy. This doesn't even touch on the surge in mental disorders. Some people have been saying that there's been increases of up to 1,000% of mental disorders and mental health issues due to mask wearing for children. Many of these, like I said, have long-lasting effects, cognitive, psychological, and health-wise. So yeah, mask mandates are gone for now, soon, partially, but not forever, right? This is the dance. But the effect of these mandates are going to last for a very long time. And for guys like me and you, or for people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and plus, whatever, they're able to adapt. There have been some very real health damages done, but they're going to be able to adapt. But for kids and the lives of our children, we're going to see devastating effects, and it's ground that we should have never given up in the first place. We should have never given up our face property from the beginning and the face property of our children, because this is going to be detrimental for years and years to come.
Yeah, and essentially masks, what good have they been? Well, they've basically only been good at signifying one's virtue and allegiance with the spirit of the age. That's basically the only efficacy that they truly have, is effective political sloganeering and signaling. And that's the reality of masks right now. They've become a badge of servility. So if you're sitting in church with a mask on, take the mask off. There's all sorts of theological reasons why you should not cover your face when you're worshiping God in spirit and truth. But one of them happens to be, you know, we aren't to cover our heads. And there, literally, Paul talks about the covering of the head as being a signifier of authority. And what are we doing by wearing these masks? We're signifying that Justin Trudeau, that our provincial governments, they are the source of authority in our lives, and not Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And what are we doing that for? Well, it's not for science, because the science is clear. Masks don't work. I'm going to provide a link to COVID chart quiz by Tom Woods. He put this together, and it'll show you how in all these different charts, there is no correlation between mask mandates and lockdowns and their effect at stopping the spread of COVID-19. You'll never get the questions right because there is no correlation between them.
Well, what you have to do is you have to assume when you do the test, you have to say, what would be the opposite of reality based on what they've told? And then you'll get the question.
Yes, that's probably the only way you would do it, because there is no correlation. And we know this. Mike had a great conversation, and I would suggest if you haven't looked at it, check it out. It's on our Rumble channel. It's called Masks Don't Work, and it's a conversation with Dr. Stephen Petty, who's a a PPE expert, and he's also an expert in exposure control. And he just calmly and scientifically walks through why masks don't work with Mike. And it's a brilliant episode, and I would suggest that you go check it out. But I'll just give you a little conclusion of why masks don't work. And basically what Dr. Petty, or he's not a doctor, but he's an expert in this field. What Mr. Petty says is the second that we knew this was aerosolized and not spreading mainly through droplets, the argument should have been over. We should have thrown off our masks, throw them in the garbage, because apart from having a high-tech, well-fitted respirator, masks don't do anything. Why? Well, scientifically, we know that that the coronavirus is 0.12 microns. So it's just over a tenth of a micron. A human hair is like 70 microns or something. It's like the thinnest thing on your body. So if you can fit a hair through a mask or around a mask, or if you're not clean shaven and you're wearing cloth masks, then basically the mask has absolutely no seal, no effect at all to stop the transmission of the virus. And even something like N95s or KN95s are only rated to effectiveness at 0.3 microns. So that's the reality of the situation that we're dealing with. So when we think of it scientifically from that aspect, cloth masks are facial decorations, as Lena Wen said, the chief medical analyst for CNN. That's all they've ever been. And therefore, when I say literally all these are just badges of servility and virtue signaling tools, that's all they are. That's all they ever have been. And if you're really scared, you ought not to put your faith and trust in cloth masks, surgical masks. That's nonsense. Go shave your face, or if you're a lady, you don't have to worry about that, although you never know nowadays. go to a PPE expert, get fitted, get a respirator, and walk around with that thing on if you are truly that afraid of the disease, because that's the only thing that's going to help you.
Yeah, Dr. Stephen Petty, when he talks about the size of the COVID particle, he says that it's 1/1000th of the diameter of a human hair. 1/1000th. So forget about the hair. Like 1/1000th of that, that's getting around. And any of the studies that they've done in the last 2 years that have shown any effectiveness, these studies are normally done where they glue the mask to either a surface or to a mannequin. Not a regular person pulling it and up and down and it's through the side and a drink. And the moment the seal's broken, it's done.
And that's a great point, because a lot of people are looking at mask studies that show some effectiveness, not generally at stopping aerosols, but at droplets and stuff, which is not the primary way that COVID's transmitted. But they're also looking at these studies that were done in controlled atmosphere, sterile surgical atmospheres, where people are the room sterile, they're wearing from head to toe gear, they're not touching their masks and their face. It's so much different. If you can't see the difference between that and a kid going to a school and fiddling with their mask and coughing into them and spitting in them and wearing them for 24 hours a day, I mean, you're on a different planet.
And a kid, by the way, who basically has 100% chance of not dying,
yes,
from COVID.
Yes, exactly.
But a 100% chance of suffering some sort of side effect by prolonged mask
wear. Yes, exactly. And that's where it becomes absolutely obvious, unequivocally, the fact of the matter that the supposed cure in this sense has been far worse than the disease for us in this society. And it certainly doesn't actually meet, if we consider that analysis, even all the contra-constitutional things that our government has done to ensure that people are wearing these things, because it doesn't even meet the RV Oaks test, which has in it, for the limitations clause to be effectively used, proportionality must be taken into account. And what we're seeing is clearly proportionality is not there. And in fact, it's having very, very drastic effects on people, like you said, Andrew, who are frankly not at risk of severe outcomes of COVID. and yet they are in harm's way of these continued rolling lockdowns that ultimately have no end in sight. So we need to continue to fight and push back against this insanity. Any more to add before we move on to our second story there, Andrew?
I would just encourage our listeners to encourage friends and family members as well. I mean, unfortunately, there are some settings where it's unavoidable. Like if you, for example, if there's a particular surgery or operation that you have looming and you need to wear a mask, and the question is, do I not wear a mask or do I get this important lung surgery or this important whatever surgery? The reality is, in that situation, your hands are tied, right? In that situation, you're going to have to bite the bullet. But as much as it depends on you, especially because you can walk into stores and you don't have to have a mask on. And if they approach you, you can say, no, thank you. I don't need to wear one. I don't have to wear one. And so the encouragement that I would say to people is when they take their mask off on March 21st and when they throw it out or whatever, don't put it back on again in the fall. And that's going to be the difference. In the fall or whenever this is brought back up again, if it is, and I hope it's not, but it probably will be, we need to say to people, once it gets off your face, you were duped for 2 years. They lied to you. You bought into it. You succumbed to the pressure. You were afraid of being marginalized. Okay, fine. Now that you know the truth, and once the mask comes off, don't put it back on again.
Christians, as Christians, we should be, you know, ready to say, I was fooled. I was wrong.
Right.
I repent. And part of repentance is changing your behavior, is going the different way, right? It's not, oh, I was wrong, I'm going to therefore continue to do the same things over and over and over again. No, there's a necessary a practice of that repentance. So that's something that we should want to do and be okay to be humble enough to admit it. And I've certainly not got everything right, and I've certainly been duped many a time throughout this reflexive scandemic. So anyways, let's move on to our second story, because I know we have a lot to say about this, and rightfully so. Gas prices in Canada and across the world, frankly, continue to spiral out of control. And the fact is, it's only going to get worse. As of today, I just looked on Gas Buddy. I just want to say for our listeners across the country, here's what you're going to be looking at when you're looking at gas prices at the pump. In Alberta, gas prices, $1.69. That's the lowest in Canada, according to Gas Buddy. Saskatchewan, $1.71. Northwest Territories, $1.71.1. In Manitoba, where I hail from, $1.74.9 now. I just filled up at $1.69.9, and I almost had a heart attack. New Brunswick, $1.80.6. Nova Scotia, $1.86.8. Ontario, $1.87. PEI, $1.87.1. Quebec, $1.94. Newfoundland, $1.96.8. And British Columbia has broken the $2 a liter amount, which is astronomical. $1 a liter is too much. That is really expensive gas. And British Columbia has doubled that. It's crazy. But I want us to keep in mind that these extraordinarily high prices are only going to get worse in Canada. As bad as it is right now, as bad as a hit as your pockets are taking, it's only going to get worse. And according to True North, that was commenting on the original story that was broke by the National Post, in April 1st, we're set to have an increase in our carbon tax. So we're already hitting $2 a liter in British Columbia, and our government's going to tighten the screws when it comes to April 1st. They propose a 25% increase to the tax, which will raise the cost of greenhouse gas emissions from $40 per ton to a whopping $50 per ton. And the Liberals have stated that they will continue to increase that cost by $15 annually until 2030, when it is expected to reach an insane, staggering, I can't have enough superlatives to describe what this number is.
It's dumbfounding.
That's a good one. $170 per ton, Andrew. That's where the Liberal government wants to go, which is totally insane because this plan drastically increases even the climate targets set out in the Paris Climate Accord, which calls for a still insane $75 a ton by 2030. And it's as though Trudeau said, I see your $75 a ton. I'll raise it by $95, which is 150% increase. And we have to keep in mind that William Nordhaus, who did a big study on economics and climate change, basically said the targets laid out in the Paris Climate Accord were so crazy, like 1.5, limiting global warming to 1.5 Celsius was so crazy that it would take such draconian governmental measures and it would be so devastating on the economy that it would be better to do nothing. That doing nothing and letting climate change run wild, according to their models, I don't think it's a problem. But anyways, if we do nothing, the impact would be far better than trying to do what the Paris Climate Accord's doing. And we're doing 150 times that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Our prime minister, our drama teacher in chief, had the gall to use this language. When talking about this plan, he said, there is no vaccine against the polluted planet. Did you know that, Andrew?
Well, and I'm wondering what the masks are too. So I mean, if this is the crisis, right? So there's no vaccine, and there's no masks, but clearly we're gonna get stuck with something. So there's something will be inserted into us as a way to affect us. And oh, look, here's the gas price, right? Something's gonna. So yeah, it is wild that you can't even put you. It's obscene.
Yeah, and the amazing part is we're seeing tons of gaslighting in the media that this is called a Putin's gas hike. Now, obviously, the war in the Ukraine, and given the fact that the Ukraine and Russia especially do have a lot of resources concerning natural gas and oil and stuff like that, but the trend had been ramping up long before this war took place. The carbon tax are designed to hurt you in your wallet book. They are designed to disrupt the way that you live. They are totally and purposely designed to hurt you where it hurts most, which is your checkbook. That is why they're put in place, because of their utopian dream at stopping climate change, which is something that humans have never, ever had the power to do or will ever have the power to do. And that's the predicate for these carbon taxes. And the fact of the matter is they want to disrupt and dismantle. That's the playbook. That's this Marxian playbook of having societal revolutions and change, is you disrupt the old systems. Therefore, it gives you the predicate to say, hey, this doesn't work. Let's dismantle it. If you read any of the communist literature from the precursor of the NDP party, that's exactly what Tommy Douglas said. See, Great Depression. Capitalism doesn't work. Therefore, we have to usher in a new communist utopia. That is the genesis of the NDP party. It came out of the Communist Party of Canada there. But yeah, anyways, I digress. The fact of the matter is this is a part of a bigger plan, and you see it in the reaction that instead of ramping up production in Canada, in the US, instead of making us less dependent on oil from communist countries like Venezuela or former Soviet states like Russia or corrupt Middle Eastern states like Iran, we're ramping down production in the West so that we can stay in line with the UN 2030 sustainability goals. It's insane. Andrew, over to you.
Well, all we need to do is take like a half step back and ask the question, what effect is this really going to have? Right? And so what we're being told is the effect that it's going to have is going to save our planet. Right? It's that this hike, this increase is the equivalent, right? I don't want to beat to death an illustration from our last show, but this is what they're basically saying is this is our way of combining the powers of the rings and releasing our hero to save the planet. That's what he's going to, and it is, it's a cartoon. It's a joke. He's going to save the planet. That's the result. We're going to be paying through the nose. The planet will get saved because Earth will respond to us. Thank you for charging your citizens more money for using the gasoline that happens to come from me anyways, and by throwing all of this money into the Earth. I'm so thankful that I will make the Earth more livable. Like, that's what they're trying to tell us, but this is what's actually going to happen. And all we need to do is just go one step at a time. This is not unreasonable, and this is not ridiculous. If buying gas to drive your car becomes untenable, and you realize I can no longer afford the vehicle or the drive or the gas, it's not going to work, then people might find that they're unable to get to work or look for work. How am I going to get to work? How am I going to look for a job? I live really far away from where I work. And so this will become a problem, which means what? Which means people are going to be put out of jobs. People are going to have a difficult time working and getting to work. And so this will affect jobs. And on top of that, higher fuel costs, you're going to mean the companies are going to have to charge more to transport their products because you need fuel to make the trucks go to bring us the things. And so they're going to start charging more money for the things, which is going to jack up the price of products that we buy, which means you'll also have to have an increase in minimum wage because things cost more and people now need to be making more money in order to have a livable wage. And we all know that jacking up minimum wage means you're going to lose more jobs. We're going to lose all of this, right? Jacking up the gas prices, you're going to have a loss of jobs. Increasing the cost of things means an increase in minimum wage, which means another loss of jobs. And we might be thinking, wow, that's really sad. What are we going to do about it? Well, wouldn't you know, our elected officials, our saviors, are not only here to save the planet, but they're here to save us as well. And they've already presented a marvelous solution to the problem. And we talked about this in our last episode. We highlighted the idea of the universal basic income. It's okay that you can't work. Gas prices are too high. No worries. I can't get to work. You don't even have to leave your house. We'll just give you money for sitting at home. That's all. We'll give you this livable basic income just to stay at home. We'll crush your spirit. We'll emasculate you, and we'll take away what it means to be a man and a human, and we will devastate you, and we'll make you lazy, and any initiative and entrepreneurial spirit, we'll crush that. No problem. We'll take care of you. We've ruined your lives, right? We've ruined your lives over the last 2 years, and now we're going to ruin them some more by taking your jobs and by making it difficult to work. But it's okay. Daddy government will just pay you an allowance. We'll make sure that you have everything you need. And like any good tyrant would, and you highlighted this in the C.S. Lewis quote, they're going to create the problem, they're going to create the solution to the problem, and then the people will suffer for it, and the elites will gather the spoils. That's what happens. Here's the problem. Now we'll fix it. You'll suffer, but we won't. And so this might be a good time for Christians and for people to consider how they might have to really be caring for and supporting one another, networking with others who are like-minded, thinking about work opportunities that don't necessarily require the one-hour commute. Maybe it's not good to be an hour and a half away from church if you can help it. It's going to be challenging. We know that this is going to be an inconvenience, but we also know that being effective in the coming months and in the coming years, actually being able to push back against the darkness and actually fulfill the cultural mandate, advance the kingdom of God, means that we're going to have to do things differently. We're going to have to think about things differently. And we're going to have to be very intentional about what we do and about what we think, because we are entering into very, very different times than we've known in the history of our country.
And it's really interesting that you bring that up, because I'm currently reading through Thomas Sowell's Black Rednecks and White Liberals book. It's a really good book, really great read. There's some really great historical analysis in it and some really surprising findings that I definitely didn't think would be there. But he talks about how what you just talked about is actually a model of success for many people throughout history, through many cultures who are kind of on the outs. They have kind of this parallel economy, a parallel work ethic, a different view from the current zeitgeist in where they live, that they often become the most prosperous, the most well-educated, and the most successful of old people in that society, because they don't go in along with the degradation of what's going on around them. And that cuts across all races, creeds, mottos, whatever it may be. Having a good work ethic, valuing education above just about anything, right? To get wisdom is far better than to get silver or gold. Those are the things that lead to greater success. So as an institution, we want to not only change the political paradigm, but have calls to action where we're calling our friends, our listeners to live different lives. In the cliched phrase that Dave Ramsey talks about, live like no one else so you can live like no one else. And I think it's an interesting saying. That would be the encouragement. Yes, we need to think about how we can be good stewards given our times, given the situations we find ourselves. We need to fight back against all this insanity, against this, you know, coming tide of communo-fascistic private-public partnerships. We need to hold businesses to account for taking part in these things. And we need to push back at the local, at the provincial, and at the federal levels of government, so we can once again take control of our own communities, of our own households, of our own selves, right? Govern ourselves according to the law of God, most importantly, so that we can have a nation that's going to prosper, that's going to flourish. And this is really where we have to continue to fight. We need to continue to claw, and we need to continue to push towards establishing a just and true and good society that are founded on immutable principles. And that's why the Liberty Coalition exists. So again, if you would want to see this institution grow, go over to our website, libertycoalitioncanada.com/donate. You can click on our donate tab at the top of the page there. And you can also click on the QR code just down at the bottom. You can scan that, and that'll take you to the page as well. Andrew, thank you so much again for coming on. It's a pleasure to do these programs with you. Do you have anything to say by way of exit here?
Just that we need to be people who are committed to and people of the truth. There's so many lies. The masks work. That's a lie. Oh, it's always just a temporary thing. That's a lie. Oh, it's not going to hurt you. That's a lie. It's just a slight inconvenience. Also a lie, right? Our planet is going to blow up in 12 years. That's a lie. If we need to jack all, it's all these lies. All these lies that we're being sold. And so we need to be people of the truth. And we need to understand what is true, which takes work, because we're not going to find it in state-funded legacy media. We have to look for truth, and that's primarily found in the Word of God, but it's also found in using the brains He's given us to ask questions, seek out the truth, and not be bombarded and paralyzed with fear because of these lies, right? Jesus tells Pilate, I am of the truth, and those who hear my voice, those who are of, who belong to me, are also of the truth. And so we need to be those kinds of people in this world full of lies, top to bottom.
Well said, brother. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Again, if you're catching us on a Rumble, don't forget to subscribe. Same with the YouTube at Liberty C Canada. And you also should like, subscribe, rate, and review, give a thumbs up, whatever your podcast catcher has you do, do that also. Give us a review. honest 5 stars. If it's anything lower than 5 stars, you know, just don't waste your time. That would really help us get the podcast out to more people. So we would really appreciate that. Thanks again for tuning in. This is the end of the program. Godspeed. You on your way.
Thanks for tuning in to Liberty Dispatch, a united front to restore liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and Rumble channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com.